Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning.
For those of you that don't know whose voice that is, that's Roy Edwards, my sometimes co-host.
Yes,
Roy, welcome back, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you should be refreshed.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, I've heard you've been following around the West Virginia football team.
I have. I've actually been asleep for the last two weeks.
I've also heard
you've
been sneaking Dana Holgerson Red Bulls.
I have.
On the side.
After the class action lawsuit.
Now, what's their record now?
We are 6-2.
6-2. So they're going to play in a bowl game, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see West Virginia make a comeback. For a while there, I was thinking that Oliver Luck had no clue what he was doing as an athletic director. But now it looks like Holgerson has got a team he can play with. And hopefully, we'll keep some of these guys out of jail, and hopefully they'll stay eligible. Mm-hmm. And West Virginia will continue to romp. We're waiting on a call from Russell Baxter. He should be calling in soon. Talk to me about the NCAA right now.
Sure.
Who's your top four right now?
Well, Mississippi State and Florida State. You have to put those two up there just because they're both undefeated right now. Nobody's even really showed them that they could beat them. Florida State had a little bit of a scare in week one to an Oklahoma State team that we now know is irrelevant. So, but you have to put those two teams in there. I would take Mississippi and Alabama both out at this point. I only think that there's going to be one SEC team getting in. I'd put Oregon in there, and then I'll throw Notre Dame and I'll throw Michigan State. So those would be my guys. I would keep all these SEC teams because somebody's going to lose. We went over the schedule right before we came on. Mississippi State at the current moment is in, but they still have Alabama. They still have Ole Miss. You have to think that they're gonna lose one of those games, and if they don't, if they beat both of those teams, well, then that takes Alabama and Ole Miss out of the picture. So, I'm not sold on these multiple SEC teams. I think it's gonna be Mississippi State, Florida State, Oregon, and Notre Dame.
You know, Georgia's played real well. I think they've only lost one game.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn's played pretty good. Alabama looks like the team to beat now in the SEC because they're coming on strong. They lost a game early. Of course, they barely beat West Virginia, and that's not going to help them. But, they'd have to almost lose another game, wouldn't they, not to make it? Just because of his drawing ability and the fact that somehow or another the quote-unquote experts will figure out a way to get Saban in it.
Yeah. Well, yes. If Alabama beats Mississippi State while Mississippi State is the number one team in the country, you'd have to think that Alabama is now in. And then they would hop Florida State, and they'd become the number one team in the country, which is extremely plausible. It could happen. So, yeah, Alabama would have to lose another game to not be in the playoff, and you'd have to think that other game would be the Mississippi State game.
Talk to me about Oregon, Roy. I mean, I'm not, I know Marcus Mariota is going to, probably be the first guy drafted this coming year in the NFL draft. He elected to stay another year at Oregon. Yeah, they can play. Yeah, it's the Pac-12. I don't know that they're necessarily a top four team, though. How do you feel about it?
I love Oregon. I love the Pac. I was high on the Pac-12 this year going in. I think Pac-12 is one of the best conferences in the country. Oregon, I really like Oregon. I really like USC. They just lost again, but I really like USC. I like Arizona State. UCLA was highly ranked at the beginning of the season. They've kind of fallen off, but you got Arizona and Rich Rodriguez out there running that spread. It's a very powerful conference, and Oregon is just that much faster than everybody at this point. So I like them as a top four team. They got to continue to win because, like I said, these SEC teams that are sitting ahead of them, the Auburn, the Alabama, the Mississippi, maybe even a Mississippi State, somebody in there is going to lose. They all play each other. So Oregon has the chance to move up as long as they take care of their own business.
How about LSU now? The head coach at LSU, his mother died over the weekend, and you know, not uncommon for a group of kids to get together and play a little extra hard for a head coach, and they end up winning last night.
Right.
And defeating Ole Miss, right?
Yeah, they beat Ole Miss. Which
They held Ole Miss to 7 points. Mm-hmm. Russ is calling in. Hey, Russ, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing terrific. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. Let's talk. We're switching from NCAA football right to Russ Baxter. Russ Baxter with ProFootballGuru.com and every other. Russ, real quickly, give us a list of all the places people can find your work.
Oh, Bleacher Report, Football Nation, End Zone Score, Sports Post, Fansided. But make it easy on yourself. Just go to ProFootballGuru.com, or even easier, I have a Facebook page, which is Pro Football Guru. We have well over 2,700 likes on the page. Gives you everything you get on ProFootballGuru.com. And, of course, there's Twitter, Bax Football Guru, which we are closing in on 34,000 followers, very proud to say.
That's fantastic. And, Russ, you know how much we think of you. Let's talk about today's day. We're going to have Russ for two segments, which is great today. This is a big sports weekend. You know, last night we had game four of the World Series. Game five is tonight. We've got a slew of games. Right now, as we speak, the Atlanta Falcons are deciding, it looks like, to win a football game, but they had to go across the pond to do it in Wembley Stadium in London, England. It looks like Detroit's got the ball, but nothing's going to happen there. Russ, let me ask you a question. Who's going to win that game and why?
I picked Atlanta today, as a matter of fact.
You're always smart.
Just because, and you can find my picks on my column on Enzo Score every week. I do my picks and so on. But I picked Atlanta because, Detroit, so banged up on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
Has found ways to win.
Yep.
But Atlanta's got quite the passing attack. And, you know, there's still some holes in the Detroit secondary. Let's not make any bones about it. And very interesting, in the first seven games of the year this year, the Lions only gave up 10 points. They're down 14-0 in the first quarter. So a little bit of a change. And, two short touchdown passes from Matt Ryan, one to the running back Devontae Freeman, one to the tight end.
You know, what I saw with this game is exactly what the league, in my opinion, is trying to do. They're showcasing the NFL, and they're not going to showcase them in a defensive struggle. I would imagine that most of the officials in this game have already been talked to about maybe letting things go a little bit and seeing some scoring. So I took the over. 40. I think it's 43.5. It's not a lot because Detroit is such a good defensive club. I took the over, and I think I'm safe there because I think what you're going to see is Matthew Stafford throwing 50 to 60 passes trying to catch up. But anyway, go ahead.
Let's keep something in mind here. If you take any game that involves an NFC South team,
right,
chances are you should bet the over. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not bury the lead. The Falcons have given up 199 points in seven games.
Right.
Yeah, their defense seems to be an endangered species in that division. Tampa Bay is hosting Minnesota. Two teams going nowhere fast. But if Tampa can't beat Minnesota at home after a bye week, I think it's time to let somebody go, or at least prepare to let somebody go. I like Tampa today. What do you think, Russ?
I like Tampa today, too, but I don't think you pull the plug on a head coach after seven games, Bruce.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. This is a guy that got let go after having a 10-6 record.
Your show after 7 weeks?
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
Oh, no, they waited a while. So, let's not listen. The thing with Tampa Bay this year, let's not forget.
I know.
And we seem to do this every year because we seem to think that teams that are busy in free agency are, like fantasy football league teams. You're just going to kind of win. You can't make that many changes that Tampa Bay did and expect everything to just be hunky-dory at the beginning of the season. And be honest with you, it doesn't work in any sport. I mean, I know enough about the other sports that when you do wholesale changes in basketball and baseball and hockey, it just doesn't work. It's teammate cohesion, et cetera, et cetera. But you want to talk about bad defense. 204 points in six games is what was allowed. And I already threw out there, just there's a long way to go. just in case people were curious.
Yep.
The NFL record is, I think, 533 by the Baltimore Colts in 1981.
Yeah. And somehow, nobody in the NFC South wants to win that division because, realistically, I mean, the Buccaneers could win two games and somehow find themselves close to the top of that division. As odd as that sounds, I mean, nobody wants to win in this division. Do you see? I guess we'll have to get this on the other side, and we'll talk more about the NFC South. But this division is just absolutely terrible.
Russ, hold on for the next segment. I gotta take care of a sponsor first. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Roy and I'll be back with Russell Baxter in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We are still here with Mr. Russell Baxter. Footballguru.com, I believe, is the website. You can check all of his stuff out. And Russ, before the break, before we were so rudely interrupted by people paying us to be on air, we were getting into the NFC South and how nobody wants to win this division. You have the Panthers taking on Seattle today. The Saints seem to be a pretender. The Falcons, they're up early in London right now, but, you know, we can't trust the Falcons. We have learned over the past couple of years. So the Buccaneers sitting at 1-5 might not be as bad as a 1-5 as some of the other teams in the league, but this whole conference or this whole division is just terrible. Who do you see coming out of this division?
Well, I had the Saints coming out before the season started. I have no reason to not think so still. I mean, it's funny. The division is terrible defensively.
Right.
You know, offense, I mean, Carolina's a little banged up on offense, but defensively they're having a lot of problems. New Orleans is New Orleans. They're just Jekyll and Hyde as far as home and away. Remember, Atlanta's missing, you know, a bunch of people on the offensive line. And they're trying to adjust to new offensive linemen. And at least offensively, you know, they can challenge you. I mean, against some of the better defensive lines, unfortunately, they're going to have their problems. And Tampa is, like I said, just a work in progress. It's defensively that it's, I mean, last week all three teams lost at play. Tampa was off. Mm-hmm. You know, the 13-0 lead. Atlanta got beat by 22. And Carolina got beat by 21. Carolina is the most surprising in terms of the defensive fall-off in some degree because of the way they started this year.
Right.
Remember, they gave up 21 points in their first two games. They've given up 174 points in their last five games alone.
Yeah, they're a little banged up, but they're not getting any pressure at all. You know what? The game I'm looking at right now, Russ, I want to see how you feel about our two teams going in opposite directions. New England is a 7-point favorite at home over the Bears. Now, a lot of talk this week about, you know, an overpaid quarterback named Jay Cutler in Chicago, but he's not the only problem that they're having. Defensively, they're a mess. What do you think?
Yeah, defensively, they've struggled for a year and a half now, Bruce. And you know, but it's Jay Cutler's a lightning rod, and some of it he brings upon himself. There's no question about it. But you know, just because you paid the guy all the money, it's twofold. It's funny how we view those things,
right?
Okay. Jay Cutler has been spotty. You know, nobody was saying that. You know what's funny? No one was saying that Jay Cutler was overpaid week two when he threw four touchdown passes against the 49ers and beat him in San Francisco.
No, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think the frustration is over the fact that, here's a team that hasn't won a home game this year. In fact, they've lost four in a row at home, dating back to last year's Packer loss in Week 17. So, I mean, major media market, a lot of fans, passionate fans, longtime fans, combination. Now, it's just funny. I mean, J.J. Watt got a lot of money this year. I mean, is he overpaid?
Oh, no, but he's lucky because he gets to prove his worth for the most part, without anybody else involved. The thing about a quarterback is he's got to have an offensive line that protects him. He's got to have receivers that don't drop the ball and stay healthy. With J.J. Watt, he can just go out there and be J.J. Watt, and you can see the difference. And I think that's
maybe because Maybe it's because that JJ has two J's and Jay just has one.
That's exactly right. He's short of J. I'm talking.
Jay's short. If we called him JJ Cutler, he would be better.
We're talking to Russell Baxter, who's a lot of fun. And look, we were just talking about the Carolina Panthers. Talking about a team that lost at home that hardly ever knew what that was like in the last couple years. The Seahawks go into Carolina 5.5-point favorites. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, it's funny. They have played. They played each other 2 years in a row in Carolina. This will be the third year in a row that Seattle comes all the way to the West Coast. I'm sorry, to the East Coast to play Carolina. And Seattle won the first two meetings. The two meetings the last 2 years. Very low scoring games in both instances. I think last year's game was like 12-7.
Yep, I remember. Opening day.
Yeah, and think about where both of these teams are sitting right now. Now, last year Seattle was 13-3, they're 3-3. Carolina was 12-4, they're 3-3-1. Seattle gave up the fewest points in the league last year. Carolina gave up the second fewest. Seattle gave up the fewest yards in the league last year. Carolina gave up the second fewest. And now look at them both defensively right now. And I know last week, you can throw that on the special teams for the Seattle Seahawks.
Right, yeah. Right.
Huge plays that they gave up.
Oh, two of them got
than the Simon other one.
Bailey.
Yeah, those were unbelievable.
Yeah, well, but here's the one that everybody forgets. They also gave up a 75-yard kickoff return to Benny Cunningham that set up St. Louis's first touchdown. So yeah. Nobody talks about that play. So the Rams only gained 275 yards of total offense last week and ran 48 plays. That's all.
Right.
Okay? But between the punt return and the kickoff return, that's 165 yards right there that doesn't show up in the total offense category.
You know, there's one play that as a handicapper, I'm all over today, and a lot of people questioned it, but now that hopefully they're listening to you. Seattle and Carolina, the total's only 45. I mean, they're going to go over that number maybe in the first half. Russell Wilson, you know, everybody can say what they like. You saw the mess with Russell Wilson and, you know, the backlash on the team and the people with, you know, talking about Russell Wilson's this and Russell Wilson's that.
Percy Harvin.
It's Percy Harvin and Russell Wilson. It was the problems that the two of them were having. It was like Harvin, half the locker room was supposedly Harvin's, half was Russell Wilson's. You know what? If you have a problem with Russell Wilson, this is a guy last week that threw for over 200 yards. I don't think he turned the ball over, and he rushed for over 100. And if they don't give up those special teams plays, they win the game. This week, I see Russell Wilson and Cam Newton kind of having a showdown, don't you?
Well, it's possible. And here's the other thing to throw out about both these teams. Seattle, it's funny, Carolina right now is ranked 26th against the run, and they've been horrendous giving up big plays. We saw back in week three, Le'Veon Bell run 80 yards. We saw the week after that, Giovanni Bernard run 89 yards. Not the week after that, but I don't think it was the week after that. No, it wasn't the week after. I'm sorry. But we've seen huge big plays given up, okay, by Carolina's defense. Now, Seattle's ranked 6th against the run, guys, and they're like, oh, wow, that's not so bad. But it's deceptive.
Yep.
In the three games they've won, they've given up 148 yards rushing total. In the three games they've lost, they've given up 122 yards per game on the ground as an average. And I'll throw out a name that people don't talk about a lot, not being there anymore, because they more focus on Chris Clemens not being there.
Right.
Red Bryant was a defensive end that didn't get a lot of sacks for the Seahawks, but he was one of the best run-stopping defensive ends in the entire league. He's now with Jacksonville, his former coach with Gus Bradley, and and Clint McDonald left for free agency versus Tampa. Seattle's defensive line took some major hits in terms of depth, and they still have some good pass rushers, but they're not as staunch against the run.
We're talking to Russell Baxter with ProFootballGuru.com. Russ, we got to talk a little bit about the Jets since our show goes out of New York. And I picked the Jets already this week. I actually threw it out there early. You know, no matter what, you know, it's probably a good thing that there haven't been any injuries since Wednesday because that's when I picked them. They're 3-point favorites over Buffalo. I just think that this game sets up great for the Jets. They've lost six games in a row, but their schedule is brutal. If you look at who they've played in the last few weeks, I mean, they played Detroit, San Diego, Denver, New England. Now they get Buffalo at home. Am I crazy to take the Jets today?
Well, you being crazy and taking the Jets are two different.
I hear you.
If we did a show on you being crazy, it'd be about 9 hours.
Thank you.
I know. I don't think you're crazy.
Absolutely correct, though.
I think the Jets will win today, too. I think the Jets played their best football game the last time we saw them against New England.
Yep.
But here's the thing I can't get out of my mind about the Jets. Okay? And I know we talk about the quarterback all the time and the backup quarterback and the coach and the GM. You're talking about a defense under Rex Ryan this year. Okay?
Right.
And listen, Rex Ryan's the main component as far as defense, correct?
Absolutely, without question.
They have played seven games. His defensive unit has given up 18 touchdown passes and has one interception.
Yeah, that sucks, pretty much. That's a problem.
Correct.
Well, and they, also their number one draft choice from last year, he's out for the year, right? Or he's
yes,
out.
But I mean, they listen. We know, listen, they let Antonio Cromartie go. They never really addressed the cornerback situation in free agency or anywhere else. You know, they did in the draft. Guys got hurt. We keep on hearing all the money they had under the salary cap. You know, they had a shot maybe getting Revis. They had a shot maybe getting Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. They didn't get either. And they're really hurting back there.
You know, the hardest position to fill on any team, it seems to me, are defensive backs. Because if you look at every team, very few teams are comfortable in all four positions.
Well, also, the league makes new rules every year so they can't touch the receivers. And that's the number one attacked position in football right now.
Sooner or later, Russ, our defensive backs are going to be the size of our defensive ends. We're going to have these guys that are 240 pounds, 6'5", with long arms that run 4.45 40s. I don't like what they do to the defensive backs either. And you know what? Looking at old film, Russ, do you ever watch, you know, and you probably watch the NFL films all the time. You look back even 20 years ago, the way they played defense, the Cowboys, the 49ers, the Redskins. I mean, there was a lot more contact, you know? I mean, they gave the defensive backs a chance.
There's no question about it. I believe the NFL passed a rule this year called sneezing, 15 yards.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it's not getting any better. It's almost like, I understand why they do it, but it takes away so much from the game. We're talking to Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, the best guy. Russ, we got about a minute left. I got one more game I want you to look at, and you tell me who's going to win this game. Baltimore plays Cincinnati today. They're only a one-point favorite right now in Cincinnati. But I don't see the Bengals as being all that great this year. They're a very average team, aren't they?
Well, once again, another team that started out well on defense is struggling. The Bengals, and it's run defense, giving up 140 or more yards on the ground 4 weeks in a row. They don't have a lot of offensive weapons. But I will say this. I mean, I still watch Joe Flacco and the Ravens, who are much improved in terms of the running game. And yet Flacco still makes some mistakes. And I believe he threw two more picks last week. So,
yeah, he did.
Even though Baltimore is playing much better than Cincinnati. Cincinnati hasn't won since the 3-0 start. I'm leaning Cincinnati at home. Baltimore perplexes me on the road.
Yeah, and you know what? They lost to Cincinnati. It seems like Marvin Lewis kind of has their number anyway. Used to be their defensive coordinator when they won a Super Bowl in Tampa. You know, back when Coach Billick was running the show there. He always seems to have their number to me. I would find it hard for Baltimore to go in there and win, but it should be a great game. Plus, they're like on their third tight end right now. Russell, is there a game that you particularly like yourself we haven't discussed?
Well, I think I wouldn't want to ignore Philadelphia and Arizona out in the desert today.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, the Eagles coming off the bye week, and they look like they got their running game sorted out. The last time we saw them, remember, this was a team just like Atlanta that lost a ton of starting offensive linemen.
Right.
But now they're starting. They've gotten a few back, but they're still missing Evan Mathis and Jason Kelsey. But the backups, you know, listen, offensive line is cohesion. Get a little playing time, okay? Last time we saw them, they ran for 203 yards against the Giants. LeSean McCoy had 149, but they go against the number one run defense in the league. And, you know, Arizona, give credit to Bruce Arians.
Oh.
The Cardinals are 12-3 in their last 15 games going back to last year.
Yeah, and they're my dark horse pick to go to the Super Bowl. And if they do, they'll be the first team ever to play in their home stadium for a Super Bowl. Russ, I can't thank you enough for coming on and doing a couple segments with us. Russell Baxter, everybody. ProFootballGuru.com. You got to follow
Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Russ. I appreciate it, buddy.
The rest of the day. Isn't this fun, a quadruple header today?
Absolutely. It doesn't get any better than that. We'll be back in a minute with more with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I've got one of my favorite people in the country on the line, Senor Jess Root, beat writer for the Arizona Cardinals, my Phoenix connection, and Revenge of the Birds author. Jess, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Thanks for coming on before you head to church with the kids. I really do appreciate that. Listen, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, you and I both talked well before the season started, and we both liked them as a dark horse, even for the Super Bowl, because you know, everybody had a feeling Seattle wouldn't be there, even though I've already picked them. I picked them to be back in the NFC Championship game, win it, and go back to the Super Bowl. But I did manage to lay a pretty nice-looking bet in Vegas via my wife at 17-1 to win the NFC. And I didn't pick the Super Bowl. I should have, because they're probably below 17-1 for the Super Bowl now. But this Cardinal team with Bruce Arians, who you and I both, you know, like him an awful lot, you know, arguably the best coach in professional football. You know, I like Bill Belichick, but he can kiss my rear end for all I care. I mean, because all he really does is defense, and they cheat on offense. So I don't really trust anything that goes on in Foxborough. But you guys are 5-1. If you look at your numbers, you don't run the ball particularly well. You know, you have a Hall of Fame receiver that hadn't even got going yet. You got tight ends that are hurt, right?
And, yeah.
But you have a defense that attacks the ball with their defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles, who we both think a lot of. You just managed to keep winning. Now, the last two wins you got aren't against anybody particularly good, the Redskins and the Raiders. Those are like B games. And now you got the Philadelphia Eagles coming in, and I could say the exact same thing for them as I've said about the Cardinals. There's no reason they should be 5-1, but they are. What do you see happening in this game today?
Well, this is a really good matchup for both teams, a kind of a measuring stick of sorts that will actually most likely have playoff implications later down the road. They've had kind of a fluky season thus far, up until their game against the Giants where their offense broke loose. They weren't scoring. They haven't been particularly efficient in the red zone. They've gotten great special teams and defensive plays in terms of scoring. They've scored 7 touchdowns off returns this season. But Arizona, at the same time, they haven't played the pass real well, but that's in part because they play the run so well, so no one can run the ball, so they have to pass. They don't have a dominating pass rush, and they've gotten beat, but they haven't played a complete game yet, which is really, they haven't played a tough schedule yet. 5-1 is kind of where player teams wanted, fans and coaches wanted them to be at this point, hitting their tough stretch. But they haven't played a complete game yet, so the optimistic thing is that they're 5-1 and have yet to play a really good game. And things are starting to turn around. Carson Palmer's healthy. Andre Ellington is healthier than he has been. And there's some key injuries that looking on Philadelphia's side. We don't know if Darren Sproles will play or if Michael Kendricks will play. Evan Mathis still isn't back. And Jason Kelce, it's unknown whether he will play or not.
You know, let me ask you this. You guys, your offensive line has performed okay. I mean, they've done a good job. They've been patched together a little bit, haven't they? Don't you still have a couple of guys down on the O-line?
Actually, the health of the offensive line is good. They've been really good in pass protection so far this year. The run blocking hasn't been very good. But they've been a little banged up. Paul Fenneken was banged up early in the season, but he's back to healthy. They still haven't played their first-round rookie from last year, Jonathan Cooper, which is kind of a mystery. And it doesn't look like he will get to play unless there is an injury on the line. But no, they've been healthy overall. They've been good, and they've only Carson Palmer, well, their quarterbacks have been sacked 11 times in six games. I mean, it's not fantastic, but considering the type of pressure they were under the last two seasons, it is a huge improvement.
Well, you know, Carson is thrown to a 101.3 quarterback rating. And even for Carson Palmer, that's pretty good. He's probably got a lifetime 90-something quarterback rating. You know, the guy just seems to get better. If you give him time, he knows exactly where to go with the football. And is he really kind of your leader of your offense? I mean, is this what you see happening right now with them? Is he turned out to be your leader on offense?
Unquestionably, from the time he stepped foot into the training facility, the team facility a season ago, he was their unquestioned leader. He was a team captain last year. He's a team captain this year. This is Carson's team. He sets the tone. He's got the right attitude. He works extremely hard. He doesn't get too excited. He doesn't ever get too down. And they're going to go as far as Carson takes them, which is kind of a scary proposition considering his history in with winning. But he's doing all the right things. He's got the protection. And if he's protected, I mean, if you look at over the last season and a half, when he's got protection, when he's not pressured, his numbers are as good as any quarterback in the league. And that's any quarterback.
Now, you guys are 3-0 at home. Is that correct?
Yes. The only loss was in Denver.
Now, I was reading somewhere where you've had 65 to 70. I mean, of course, the exact number's not in my head. But you've had a lot of straight home sellouts. I had no idea you guys were selling that place out every week. Is that right?
Ever since it was opened in 06, I think, or 07, it's up to 89 straight, including preseason and postseason games.
That always helps. Now, is that crowd, are they helpful when the other team has the ball? Do they get real loud, like in a lot of stadiums?
They get extremely loud. In fact, since 06, when it opened, they have more opponent off false start calls than any other stadium in the NFL. 119 is the number since 06, which is more than the 12th man. It's more than Ford Field. It's more than all of them.
Well, you know, maybe that's what I'm missing. I haven't been out to a ball game. Jess, if I come out there, you going to go to the ball game with me?
Absolutely.
Hey, now listen, let's talk about something else. The defense. Todd Bowles, former Redskin defensive back, done a phenomenal job with you guys. Probably going to be in line for a head coaching job sometime soon, unless your owners are smart enough to pay him like a head coach soon. His defense blitzes over 50% of the time, or right at 50% of the time. It's the highest in the NFL. How do they get away with doing that and not paying downfield?
Well, that's when you have Patrick Peterson and Antonio Cromartie on either side of the ball, that helps. They've got a really strong defensive backfield overall, which limits when they blitz, it makes it so that the quarterbacks have to go underneath, and they've been tackling well enough. And that's why they're getting good line play, and they get defensive backfield play. They've given up a few big plays overall, but it's been limited. I mean, we saw Deshaun Jackson go for a 60-plus yarder and a 40-plus yarder. They've given up a 55 yarder last week, but they are so good against the run that it really limits what other teams can do to them.
Let's do this. Let's take a peek while I got you on for this segment. Let's take a peek at their schedule the rest of the way. Let's say they beat the Eagles at home and they hold serve there. They go to 6-1. Next week they go to Dallas. You know, let's say they lose to the Cowboys, because the Cowboys, even though they'll be coming off a short week, the Cowboys are pretty tough right now. And we'll just give them that win. That puts them to 6-2. They beat the Rams at home November 9th. 7-2. They beat the Lions at home, 8-2. They go to Seattle and Atlanta. Let's say they split those two, right? That's 9-3. They come back and they have Kansas City, thankfully, at home, right? I think they beat Kansas City in your place, don't you?
You would hope so. That's one of the big things that Arians preaches is holding court, is winning at home.
So let's say they win that. That's 10-3. Then they go to St. Louis. I'm gonna give them a loss there, even though St. Louis they should beat. Then they'll probably be favored on the road. That's 10-4. Then they have Seattle at home, and we know they're going to beat them because this Seattle team is not the same team. Matter of fact, I don't know if Seattle's going to make the playoffs. I still have them circled. They're kind of a, you know, if you had to ask for odds for me for NFC playoffs right now, I'd have to put them at 12-15-1. I just don't see them doing it. But then they go to San Francisco, and you give them that loss. That's 11-5. I think that's where we had them when the season started, isn't it?
That's what that would probably put that would have to put them in the playoffs. I actually put them before the season just because there were so many unknowns. I had them going 10-6 again and missing the playoffs, but I couldn't bank on Seattle or San Francisco dropping as they did. San Francisco, I think, will come on strong, and I think Seattle will rebound. But as long as the Cardinals have earned the driver's seat, that puts them in a really good spot.
You know, I'd be surprised if Seattle's lost some edge. You know, when you see a quarterback like Russell Wilson having to do what he did last week in a losing cause, you know, to go 3-3. I mean, he rushed for over 100 yards. He threw for over 200 yards. Don't think he turned the ball over, and they still lost. I mean, you know, to me, their defense is just not the same defense. And their home crowd, the 12th man, didn't see it last week. Did you?
Well, no. And then, against Dallas, when they were at home.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Dallas controlled the ball, and that's kind of what you have to do. Is Arizona controlled the ball, moved the ball effectively in their win in Seattle, just turned the ball over too many times, and otherwise it would have been much bigger win for Arizona. But yeah, it's kind of like beating the Broncos, beating the Seahawks. If you can move the ball effectively against them, which is the tough part, because Seattle's defense last year was so good. This year they've taken a step back because they've lost depth. If you move the ball and keep the ball away from them, then they're gonna be in a tough spot because they're not especially now they're not as a big play team as they were a year ago.
And we're talking to Jess Root, Arizona Cardinal beat writer, Revenge of the Birds author, great guy. You can go to @Senor, @SENOR, Jess, JESSROOT, Root, and follow him on Twitter. You're a great follow on Twitter, especially during games. You are, the nice thing about you, Jess, is you're just enough of a homer to love. Because let me tell you, I hate going into press boxes and I hate going into situations where you got some hard-ass guy sitting there looking at you, telling you can't cheer for anybody. Jess, long-term, next 3 to 5 years looking good for the Cardinals. They got their contracts pretty much tied up.
They do, as long as the big question is, what do they do with Carson Palmer? That looks like they're going to extend him.
Oh, they're going to pay
long-term,
him. Yeah.
And long-term, they have to address that position because Carson Palmer isn't the answer for the next 5 years. He might be for the next year or two, but they do need to develop someone. Otherwise, that'll kind of put them in the same situation the Cardinals were with was Wisenhunt.
Well, we've got the right guy to do it in Bruce Arians. Jess, can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Jess Root, everybody. We'll be back in a minute with more from Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You know, that's pretty funny. Got a great read here for you. I want you to pay attention. There's going to be a quiz on it right after I'm done. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. And by the way, I'm a realtor, so
don't hire him to sell.
You don't
a house.
Have to hire anything. I'm my own boss. If I'm a realtor goofball, I'm a broker. Look, I got ripped off for several tens of thousands of dollars the first year I was in the real estate business by a broker who basically went to settlement and told me to sue him. Because I wasn't a broker. As an agent, you cannot be paid. You have to get your money through a broker. Mm-hmm. As soon as that happened, I went and decided, you know what? I'm going to make sure I have my name on every contract ever done, and I get the check made out to me. So I took all the classes, and I'm going to tell you, it was like going to graduate school. It took about a year, year and a half. Got my broker's license, have kept it ever since. By the way, the score in the Atlanta-Detroit game for you people who took Detroit, take a nap good. Because it's not looking good for you. It's 21-0 Atlanta.
Take a nap. Go back to bed.
I have the over in the game, so I really do need Detroit sometime or another to score. It looks like they just did.
No, that is from the 1980s.
That would be
we're a watching, highlight of
we're watching TV in the
maybe
studio,
Barry
by
Sanders.
Way. Hey, listen, they should have a 9 o'clock game in London every Sunday because then we'd at least have something good to look at, you know, on TV and in the studio. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm with Roy and Matt, and we're going to talk NFL football. Roy, you want to? you don't have your
what?
I looked over to see if you were checking everything out. The let's talk about football for a minute. Let's talk about NFL football.
What did you want me to?
We haven't talked about everything, all the games yet. Mm-hmm. So let's get rolling here. Matt, give me that really cool sound that we hear. First of all, I want to say that Thursday night football for Bruce Hall has been very, very good to Bruce. I had Denver -9 this weekend, and I had over 50 points. I had both of them. I had Denver for 5 stars. I had the over for 3 stars, and I had Denver and the over for 5 stars. So I'm up 13 stars already on the week. And I'd like to thank Peyton Manning for the great.
I'd like to thank Peyton Manning.
I'd like to thank Peyton Manning for all the scoring, and I'd also like to thank his scoreboard operator for doing all the crap that made Peyton so upset. This guy was like, you know, doing all kinds of weird. He must have been a new scoreboard operator in Denver. Mm-hmm. He was doing all this stuff that had the fans while they had the ball making all kinds of noise and doing the wave and getting crazy. And Peyton got so mad he called a timeout one time and just was making all kinds of hand gestures like to the press box, like, man, throw that guy out of there. And you gotta really, really like Peyton for doing that because there's nothing worse than making a ton of noise when your quarterback is standing over the ball. Mm-hmm. Because he needs quiet. That's what we call, for you people that only go to a game once in a while and don't know anything about football, we call that home field advantage. And that's why when the other team has the ball and their quarterback is under center or back in the shotgun, we make all the noise in the world we want because that's when you make the noise. Does everybody understand that?
I think we understand.
Good. And they don't do that in soccer. In soccer, they're too busy just sleeping or, you know, waiting
just
for the
hungover.
They're waiting for the
tailgate.
They're hungover from the tailgate and they're waiting for the first goal to be scored 2 hours after the start of the game. And by the way, the DC United are in the playoffs.
Are they, though?
Yeah, Matt. How far are
First we? First in the East, thank you.
Are
yeah,
they really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's Who get, else is in
Matt,
there?
Matt.
Nobody. Nobody
Matt,
matters.
Matt, I want a report. You got 2 minutes. Go. Come on.
All right. DC United's first in the East.
And we're Seattle, through.
Seattle's first in the West. LA's somewhere in there. DC will win it. I'm calling it 4-1 against Seattle.
No homerness whatsoever in that. No.
Matt, if you, what are tickets to the playoffs right now? How much are they like? Are they $100 or are they less?
I don't know.
Do these guys even?
I don't think I've ever paid for a ticket to go to a game. That's probably so why MLS has so much problems.
Does the MLS do the guys get paid? Do they get paid to play?
Oh yeah.
Oh, so this isn't a club team or anything?
Well, they call them clubs.
I'm just kidding. I like the United. What was the guy's name? Jaime Moreno?
Yes.
I love Jaime Moreno. He was great friends with my son's trainer, Greg Pedrosian, who is a Russian trainer who is one of the best trainers in the country. He trains Olympic athletes, and he lives in Reston, Virginia. By the way, I used to see Jaime Moreno with Greg all the time.
But Jaime Moreno still...
A new report just came through.
Oh, my God.
This is probably a little more important.
This isn't about Aaron Rodgers and, you know.
No. Chris Mortensen of ESPN reports that the Seahawks have, quote, grown tired of Marshawn Lynch's, quote, ways, and he is not expected to be back with the team in 2015. So,
am I doing this right, Matt?
No,
it's the other way, like this.
So a couple weeks ago, I
need
guess it
to
was
take
last,
a class
last
on
week,
microphones.
They traded Percy Harvin to the Jets.
Oh my God!
And there was reports that Marshawn Lynch threw a fit and didn't want to get on the bus for that game. Well, now it looks like there may be some truth to that.
Well,
as
there you go.
Now they're saying that he might not. They do not expect him to be back next year. So next year the Seahawks gonna. They will save $7 million of Lynch's $8.5 million cap by cutting him next season.
Well, let me just say this. This comes from Chris Mortensen, who we all know, you know, gets all of the scoops because Chris Mortensen was pretty much writing a book on Spygate and the New England, you know, cheating scandal. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was nothing. There was nothing, Roy. There was nothing, right? Well, now who gets all the scoops? Three guys. And guess who is the number one guy? Chris Mortensen. If Chris Mortensen says it's going to happen and it's NFL related, it means more than if Roger Goodell says it. Wouldn't you agree? Because Roger Goodell is kind of a horse's ass.
Roger Goodell has been known to tell lies.
Yeah,
on the occasion.
But Chris Mortensen,
I didn't see the tape.
But Chris Mortensen has all the credibility in the world because he buried the Spygate story along with a group of other people who do it because the NFL takes care of them. They play favors. Just wanted to add that, by the way. Did Atlanta just score again?
No, halftime.
And now
never mind.
NFL Network's Ian Rappaport says that Lynch has next to no communication with the coaching staff.
And
so
by the way,
he's
number two on the list,
seems
Ian
like
Rappaport.
Seems like he's gone.
He'd be gone. Well, you know what that means? That means if you took Seattle early in Vegas and you got a minus 5.5, don't look for Marshawn Lynch to be getting you 200 yards today. I would say it'd be closer to 50, wouldn't you?
Well, I have Marshawn Lynch, so I hope that he blows up still.
You have to imagine now he's going to just blow up just because he's going to look for his next
team. Feed the beast, man. Get the Skittles.
Yeah, but...
Skittles going.
Well, and the offensive line blocking for him, what are they going to do?
Oh, man.
Want to win? So.
Well, let me ask you this. The big deal this week, and we'll talk about it a little bit when we come back, is Russell Wilson black enough to lead the Seattle Seahawks? That's the most unbelievable, stupid stuff I've ever read and heard in my life. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion with Roy, Matt, and me, Bruce Hall, in a minute.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Some updated fantasy advice for you fantasy football players out there. Marshawn Lynch is not communicating with the coaching staff. They don't expect him to be back next year. I don't know what that has to do on today's implications, but keep that in mind. Shane Vereen has a tummy ache, so be careful of that guy. And Matt Stafford, my guy, just threw an interception, so I'm mad. But those are your two big stories for the day. Shane Vereen has a tummy ache, and... Marshawn Lynch apparently is not expected to be a Seahawk.
He's
going to
be considered least mode, not beast mode, pretty soon. Well, hey,
he's going to get that.
Talk about breaking the
contract next year.
Hey, they broke the band up quick, didn't they?
The Jets are going to.
The Seattle Seahawks just broke the band up. If Marshawn Lynch is gone, Turbin is not going to get it done. Sorry.
Is Marshawn Turbin John or Paul in this scenario?
John for sure. Marshawn. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd say.
Who's Yoko Ono?
Well, we don't know yet. Probably Ray Rice's wife, but that's another story.
Completely other story.
I have no idea. It would have to include beast mode somehow, and I don't want to get into that because, you know, I would never say something like that. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Clark Judge is coming on. Number one NFL guy I know. He is with Talk of Fame Network and comes out with the best Monday morning. It's so much better than Monday morning quarterback. I like Monday morning quarterback with Peter King, but, it's an SI deal. And Peter King takes four pages to do what Clark Judge does in one paragraph. I'm one of these guys that really enjoy
not reading.
Yeah, getting to the heart of everything. No, I read a lot, but I don't have all day to read one thing. Does that make sense?
Hey, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I hear you. The Fordham University has got a hell of a football team, evidently, and they are pretty close. They've got a 4-0 home record, 3-1 away. They're 7-1 this year, first in the Patriot League. What do you think? I mean, they've got this kid named Niebrick who's supposed to be one hell of a quarterback. And a lot of people think he's going to get drafted this year. I think he was a junior last year, and he actually worked out for some teams, but he didn't get drafted. And he didn't sign. I think he went back to school. You know, hopefully, I'm sitting here looking. I'm trying to find, I've got Fordham right here. Here's their official site. Thank God. It took like 30 seconds on Twitter. Here we go. They beat Lehigh 48-27. It's the first time they've ever beat Lehigh University. Now, don't get me wrong. Lehigh University ain't great. But Lehigh University, evidently, based out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, is one of the best teams in their division. Yeah, in their division. This must be 1AA because this isn't Division One.
Georgetown's in the league with them. Georgetown's not very good. I believe Bucknell played Georgetown this week. I think I saw pictures of
These are kids that are smart. Now listen, Fordham is where Vince Lombardi went to school. And at one time, Fordham was one of the top schools in the country in football because there weren't, 4,000 football teams in the country. There was only a handful of really good teams.
Patriot League, however, is a very good lacrosse league.
That's
where Loyola plays, and Loyola was the number one team in the country last year.
They have decent decent baseball program too. I can say because I've had kids from Lehigh and Georgetown on my summer team. I'm sitting here looking right now.
Albany's good too.
I'm just sitting here looking at they've got 81 rushing, 111 first downs passing. They're averaging 44.5 points per game, Fordham is. Here is his passing statistics. He's 198 for 304, has six picks, 8.8 yards per pass, 13.6 per catch. He is averaging 335.5 yards per game, and he's thrown 23 touchdowns.
Not
bad at all. And you know what? I'd love to see this kid make it. You know, everybody always complains about, maybe the Jets need to look or the Giants need to look at maybe signing this kid.
Mike Niebrich?
Mike Niebrich is his name, yeah. And, I'm pretty sure that's how he pronounced his name because I remember hearing about him last year. But anyway, I think that's great. So if you don't get a chance to get out to Fordham and see one of their last couple of home games, have somebody go for you and tell you how good this kid is. Hey, let's talk NFL football. It's that time, Matthew. Let's go. Now, Roy, you know who your homie is. And by the way, Roy and I have been pretty much on fire lately, especially with our home eye picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have.
We're pretty good.
We're pretty good there, Randy. And you know what? We're thinking about bringing Randy in one day. I'm trying desperately to get Moss on the program just so I can hear him talk. I really don't care what he has to say.
We're trying desperately, but we have emailed a grand total of zero times.
Yeah,
so we are really trying to get this
Maybe
guy
we
on.
Need to talk to your boy at West Virginia, Mr. Holgerson.
He's a Marshall boy. I've met Randy Moss
before. You know what? If he's a Marshall guy, I might be able to go through the baseball coach.
I met Randy Moss at the Bob Huggins Fish Fry in 2011.
Yeah,
they do it. It's a charity event that Bob Huggins does every year for his.
I love Huggins.
I imagine he has an interesting smell, right?
Randy Moss.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm guessing patchouli.
When you're at a fish fry,
I'm thinking Big Island Sensimilla is what I'm thinking.
A lot of Western because he went to Marshall. And so did White Chocolate, which a lot of people don't realize.
The big quarterback, what was his name?
Well, that was his name. Randy Moss was the receiver, and Williams, who went on to play basketball for the Kings, the nickname White Chocolate, they both went to Marshall. and they both played basketball, and they both played football together.
Well, let's do this.
True story.
The Denver game's over. Detroit's getting hustled by Atlanta. I'm taking Tampa Bay minus 2.5 over Minnesota, Roy. Who are you taking in that game?
I will take Tampa Bay.
You know what? They got to win sooner or later. Mm-hmm. Russ didn't really make me feel much better about that pick.
I'll say Vincent Jackson blows up today.
Well, you know what? They do have some receivers, and they do have Glennon throwing to them today.
I mean, Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson, that's a decent receiving core. Doug Martin is not that bad.
No, well, who's the backup running back? He's pretty good too, Rainey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all good.
They're decent. They're a decent football team down there in Tampa.
Here's the team that I like today, and somebody that goes nameless because he didn't agree to come on my show. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, if you come on my show, I'll let everybody know who you were. And he was too shy to come
who you
on.
Are.
7-0 with his picks of the week, the last 7 weeks. You know who he picked this week? Who? Kansas City. Yeah. Guess what? I liked them too, so I'm taking them. St. Louis doesn't score without their special teams. By the way, that's the second time I've seen that play where they punt the ball, and nobody ever looks at the ball. They
right.
should pick the ball up, but they don't. Special teams guys do. They ended up basically watching a guy pretend to be catching the ball, and he was on one side of the field, and the ball actually went to the other. He ran it back, and that was your West Virginia boy.
That's right. It was both of them. It was Tavon Austin was back there fielding it, and he did the fake field, and then Stedman
Bailey.
Those
Mountaineers sure are tricky, aren't they?
We're tricky.
But those two guys are incredible athletes,
a lot
too.
Of the time, though, on punts, and I was a long snapper for the longest time.
Well, they don't even let anybody cover the long snapper
you can't,
anymore.
You can't line up 5 yards. You have to be 5 yards back from the long snapper, and the long snapper is the only player who's allowed to release immediately. So the long snapper snaps the ball and takes off running down the field, so a lot of the other coverage men just follow the long snapper. So the long snapper is running at, you know, you can't see the ball because you would have to turn your head around, and then you're getting laid out by somebody. So you're running towards the guy who is supposedly
right.
fielding the football, so...
All right.
It's a good play.
Yeah, it was a good
Probably
play.
Probably won't work again.
Well, I got to tell you, it beat the Seahawks. And look what the Seahawks are doing. They're breaking up the band. Unbelievable. New England, -7 over Chicago. I like the over. It's 50 points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Chicago has any shot winning this game for two reasons. You and I both know New England doesn't lose at home. They're undefeated. Mm-hmm. Hey, Roy, again, wink, wink. They're undefeated at home.
Mm-hmm.
What a surprise. I see them winning 41-20.
Go Bears.
Well, the Bears have zip shot.
Da Bears.
And by the way, Darrelle Revis shows up late on Friday and gets sent home by Belichick. Late for a meeting, and he goes, has to go home. But I'm pretty sure he'll start. Maybe he'll slap his wrist.
The
or
Bears
something.
Are also running into a little bit of trouble with Brandon Marshall calling out their quarterback, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, that wasn't
not a very classy move. They were butt buddies. They were best friends there for a while.
But I got to tell you, Matt Forte.
The way he did it, though, I think it was classy.
Hey,
you can't call out your quarterback.
He called him
out.
Yeah,
you can. If it's Jay Cutler.
He was better. It's like, you're better than this. You're just not playing.
Yeah, they're friends. They're friends. They made up already. Besides, Cutler has 80.
They do have a bromance.
He has ADHD anyway. He didn't remember what happened right after it happened.
They made a lot more out of it.
They have a serious bromance going on there.
Hey, Matt Forte is going to be doing some serious things today, though. Chicago's going to be behind, so they're going to be throwing the ball, running the ball, running sprint draws, throwing screen passes. You know.
I wouldn't be surprised if Chicago wins this game.
I'm not taking them. I will,
but I wouldn't be surprised.
Are you taking them +7?
I would. Probably lean that way.
Are you taking them +7?
I'm not taking them, but I would lean that direction.
I'm taking New England minus the points.
Then I'll take Chicago plus the points.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion. Stay tuned.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You know, it's always nice to pick Twitter up in the middle of our show 18 seconds ago. Ben Volen. Oh, never mind. That's a different one. Albert Breer said, saw Rap Sheet. That's Ian Rappaport. at Rap Sheet. Talking Gruden, two things to remember on potential return. Talking
about John Gruden, not the Redskins.
Who's making $5 or $6 million a year just having fun.
Talking really good about people on Monday Night Football.
Whatever. Anyway, one, he wants a franchise quarterback. Two, doesn't want to rebuild. Here's the deal. John Harbaugh supposedly, or Jim Harbaugh supposedly, nobody's happy with each other in San Francisco. He may go to Michigan. Brady Hoke's gone. He got squashed yesterday by Michigan State. If he wasn't leaving to begin already, he's leaving now. Mm-hmm. Because there's just nothing but hatred between Michigan and Michigan State. And nothing Michigan hates losing more to, anybody they hate losing more to than the University of Michigan. I mean, the Michigan State University.
Mm-hmm.
So I see, here's what I see. I see at the end of the season, I see Jimmy Harbaugh going to Michigan, and I see John Gruden going to the San Francisco 49ers. I can see that. Now, the 49ers historically have taken people in their own organization. Yeah. They're real good about that. It ain't going to be Steve Mariucci. So I figured it would probably be an existing guy. But Gruden's been out how many years? Five?
He's been out for a little while.
Like 5 years.
Plus, he was in Tampa. I'm sure the 49ers are familiar with him as he used to coach the Bay Area with the Oakland Raiders.
Absolutely.
Right? Well, he was an assistant there.
He took them to a Super Bowl,
yeah.
But his Tampa Bay team that he ended up coaching.
Yeah, he won the Super Bowl with. He won them with that,
but the Oakland team that went and played them was his team. He had coached Oakland for two or three years, and then they went. Yeah, he had a falling out with Mr. Davis. What a surprise.
Who doesn't?
Well, I mean, Mr. Davis is dead, so nobody's having a falling out with him now. Maybe some angels are having a problem with him. Maybe the devil.
Every once in a while.
A devil went down to Georgia. So anyway, we're still talking football. Matthew, give me that sound that we love. We already talked New England, Chicago. Kansas City -7 over St. Louis. I'm taking Kansas City because my guy at 7-0 likes him. How about you, Roy? Do you like him? Roy's watching football,
yeah,
but that's okay.
That was my boy right there, Golden Tate.
See,
catch.
All right, my son's
happy. I'm
sorry,
what was the question?
Never mind. Don't even worry about it. I mean, it's okay.
I got ADD when the football's
You
could
have called in today and said, I'm watching this great game on TV.
I'll agree with you. Whatever you said.
I'm taking Kansas City -points.
Like
four stars. Next one, Matthew. Matt, you're going to lose that, and I'm going to get it soon. Seattle's -5.5 at Carolina. You know, I didn't like Seattle before. I don't like them now.
Yeah.
I'm taking the over in this game because I think there's going to be a lot of Russell Wilson, a lot of Cam Newton, and a lot of scoring.
That's solid.
45.5 is not a lot of points either. That's like 24-21.
I would expect this line to move a little bit from the 5.5 that it's at.
Probably down to 3.
It opened up at 3.5 and it went to 5.5. I expect it to start trending the other direction, so I'd wait on it if you're going to play Seattle.
Yeah, I don't even like the game. I'm taking the over for 5 stars. Next game, Matthew. the Jets are -3. Over to Buffalo Bills.
Talk about a crappy game.
Can I tell you what, though? I released the Jets early in the week, mm-hmm. and this is the game they win. Now, whether they covered 3 points or not is up to your boy, Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Because if he turns the ball over more than once, they're not going to cover, and they might not even win. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree with that. Absolutely. It all comes down to the shoulders of Geno
Smith. How many games in a row have they lost? 6, Roy, just in case you
were
wondering.
That's pretty good. Well, they won the first week.
Yeah.
And they haven't won since.
They beat the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
That says a lot about them. But you know what? Their schedule, like I said to Russ, has been brutal. Detroit, San Diego, Denver, New England. That's murderer's row.
Plus, if you're a Jets fan, you have to be extremely excited about Percy Harvin coming to the Jets. Not because he's Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin, but because
he's pretty Harvin.
Geno Smith had a guy named Tavon Austin in college who plays eerily similar game. He plays that short route, kind of mix.
Not really a receiver, kind of a running back.
They both play receiver and running back. Tavon played running back while at West Virginia as well. They are cut from the same cloth, so you have to be excited about Percy.
You know, I'd love to see them get Tavon, but they'll never get him. I'm going to release the Jets for 4 stars minus the 3 points. I love them. Don't ask me why, but I just think it's time for the Jets to put it together at home and win. Now, I will say this. If you're thinking about playing the over, forget it. The wind's gusting 30 to 40 miles an hour as we speak at MetLife Stadium. Next game, Matt.
That's good news.
Oh, buddy. Jacksonville. They won their first game of the year last week. Yeah, they're plus six. They're plus six over Miami. The total's 42.5. You know what I did? I broke Miami down. Our buddy on Meet the Press, who's, by the way, on some big tour where he'll be gone 10 days to all the states where, you know, there's evidently some elections or something going on.
In this country.
So
we're probably
not going to have Chuck on for a week or two, but I can't wait to get him back because he's 7-4 each week he's been on against the spread. And by the way,
His
Miami, University of Miami Hurricanes, have won for me 2 weeks in a row. I love them. And if it wasn't for Chuck, I wouldn't even be looking at those guys. Lamar Miller has done a great job running the football for Miami. Joe Philbin, evidently, Ryan Tannehill is finally, you know what he's doing? He's improving a little bit all the time.
Ryan Tannehill, if
you remember, the Redskins almost drafted Tannehill later rather than give all that stuff up for Robert Griffin, which they probably wish now they had Ryan Tannehill.
I don't think so.
I don't think they want Robert Griffin.
I know they don't.
I think Robert Griffin sucks. No, trust me. Tannehill is the guy because Joe Philbin said this week that he's done more than he even thought he would do this year to that point. Watch Miami. All I'm saying is they're a sleeper.
Ryan Tannehill is an extreme quarterback project. This guy played wide receiver in college and only played 1 or 2 years
as quarterback. I understand that, but he's getting better all the time.
He is getting better, but you need to build this guy.
He's better than your boy Geno Smith.
I think that he has a better quarterback coach than Geno Smith.
Oh, absolutely.
If you put Philbin on the Jets and you have him coaching Geno, then you're having Geno with all the promise. Philbin is a hell of a quarterback's coach.
Yeah, he is.
He had Aaron Rodgers before he even went all this. So.
Absolutely. Well, Aaron Rodgers had for 3 or 4 years? Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the thing about Aaron Rodgers that people forget about is he sat on the bench and learned his offense.
Yeah.
And they haven't changed it at all. Now, we're going to talk about them in a minute. You know, Blake Bortles is struggling. I mean, he's a big, tough, strong guy. He's going to be good. Mm-hmm. He's got some decent receivers to throw to. They actually had a guy rush for 127 yards, the other Robinson guy, last week. But I'm not taking the points. I think Miami wins this game. It's too close to call. Next game, Matthew.
Houston, Tennessee.
Yeah.
All right, so you have Houston Texans. They head to Tennessee. They are 3.5-point favorites. The over-under here is 41.
This game's so ugly, I don't even want to talk
about
it.
It is an ugly game.
Arian Foster's 4-9. Pass. Go to the next game.
Arian Foster runs
if you play this game, you need a drug test.
Arian Foster runs for 1 million yards in that game.
He should. Here's the game that's tough. The Baltimore line's down to 1. Baltimore's -1. I got him at 2 here.
Yeah, I
even picked him at 2. I don't buy Cincinnati beating them there. And I'll tell you why.
It's in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I know, but the Ravens lost at home. I think this is a payback game for the Ravens. I think here's the only problem. Their backup tight end, he's out. But the guy that they've got is the guy that Ron Middleton wanted at Jacksonville. They drafted him in the 3rd round, this tight end. His name's Crockett Gilmore. He's a monster, and he's got good hands, and he's got good speed. I think Baltimore beats Cincinnati easily, and if you got the line at 1-2, take them. Mm-hmm. I think the Ravens are about a 3 or 4 star play here. What do you think, Roy?
I would lean more towards Cincinnati.
Well, then, you know what? I'll take Baltimore. You take Cincinnati.
AJ Green is out, which
definitely out.
Pretty much gives a flat tire to the Cincinnati offense.
Yep.
But this Baltimore offense is not very good. They're running backs by committee. They really only have one solid receiver. And Joe Flacco loves his tight ends, and now you're working on tight end number 3 on the season.
Yeah, but Crockett Gilmore, he's already got like 5 or 6 receptions if you look at the stats, and he's averaging like 13 yards a catch.
Well,
this guy's good.
Joe Flacco's offense is look deep, dunk, and then dump to a tight end.
Well, you know who needs to come through? Torrey Smith. I mean, Torrey Smith.
He needs to show up.
And by the way, he's going to be getting better as we go anyway.
Because
you know what Flacco's getting? Time to throw.
He is getting a little more time.
And do you know why? Justin Forsett is averaging 5.8 yards. Is it 6? 5.8 yards per carry. Number 1 in the NFL with guys over 50 carries.
Yeah.
He's better than DeMarco Murray. You know, and by the way, DeMarco Murray, last week, if you watch Dallas, and we'll talk about them. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't even want to talk about that now because we're going to go – that Dallas Redskin game is going to be a huge game for Dallas. It's not going to be a big deal for Washington because they're not going to win. They're not going to be in the playoffs. But Dallas is moving. I mean, right now, they're one of the top two teams in the NFC. Them and Arizona, in my opinion, are the top two teams. If it came down to an NFC championship game right now, I think it would be Arizona and Dallas. And, you know, I hate Dallas. But it's hard to hate them too much because they're fun to watch right now.
Very easy to hate them.
Let's go to the next game, Matt. Right before our break, Arizona is -1 over Philadelphia. 2-5-1 teams. This is really pretty much a showcase game. You got two quarterbacks that can play. You got Nick Foles, who hasn't looked very good. You know, and a lot of that, I think, was that game that he kind of got tweaked with a concussion. And he never really kind of got better for a week or so. But they find a way to win with special teams and defense. And, you know, for those of you who thought Philadelphia's defense wasn't that good, they shut out, this first shutout this season in the NFL, they shut out the Giants last week.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, they're obviously for real. If they beat Arizona out in the desert where we had Jess Root on earlier and he said, I mean, basically they're undefeated at home and they fill it up and they're supposedly louder, I guess, there than they are in Seattle. Definitely now they are.
Well, Kansas City is supposed to be the loudest.
That's right. They broke the record this year. That's right. But I like Arizona here at home covering a 1-point spread. I'd be crazy to take Philadelphia here. And if you look at the numbers for Philly and the numbers for Arizona, the way I look at them when I handicap, they're still better. Arizona's a better team.
I like Arizona here, too.
Take Arizona minus 1 point for sure.
And Carson Palmer, if you're looking for a guy to start in the fantasy world, Carson Palmer is going to put up 1,000,000 points today.
Well, he should do something.
He's going to look really good. Philadelphia's secondary is nothing.
No.
Well, they haven't put up good numbers.
Well, they sure did look good. You know what? It just goes to show you how bad the Giants are without Victor Cruz.
The Giants are not very good.
We'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We've got Clark Judge on the line from Talk of Fame Network. Clark, tell everybody what your Monday morning feature is that is so good. I was telling everybody that I basically have stopped reading Peter King's long, drawn-out, getting more boring and boring column and just reading what you've got now. What is that?
Oh, it's a segment called Judgments. I did it with CBS for almost 10 years there, and it's a morning after, but I put it up on Sunday night, basically a recap of everything that you've seen, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's in, I think, try to make it as concise as possible so that you don't have to labor over it for a long period of time. But thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it. No, I've gotten a lot of response for it, but thanks. I appreciate it.
I'm a big reader, and I just love to read Monday morning, Sunday night. I do all my – a lot of people don't realize what I've done for almost 30 years now in the handicapping business, but I make my own lines. I've never sent you mine. Maybe one of these days I'll get your email. I'll send it to you. But I make my own lines on Sunday night, and then I adjust them, obviously, after Monday, the Monday night game. But I make lines with the top team in the league at the top and the worst team at the bottom, and I go from, you know, a slash for the top team all the way down to 15, 16 points, and I handicap according to that. And, you know, like this week, for example, when I handicapped the Redskins, and I'm going to ask you about that game because that's a huge game Monday night because it's an old rivalry and it's, you know, two teams kind of going different directions. One team has no idea what's going on. The other team looks like they could end up in the Super Bowl this year. But you know, I had the Redskins plus 15 at the start of the week. And it was just the way my numbers came out. And I think they started at 8 or 8.5, and it's gone to like 9.5, 10. Honestly, I think 13, 14 is probably the number. But I'm going to go straight to some games because I know you only got time for one segment. And I really appreciate you coming on, Clark. I do.
Hey, Bruce, what was your line on this Falcons-Lions game?
You don't even want to know. The let me tell you, it was I want to say that it was 6 or 6.5, and I had Detroit, but they've had so many things happen this week. Anyway, I mean, they got too many guys out. This is a perfect game as a handicapper. You just step away from and watch. And unfortunately, that's what we're doing in the studio. Every once in a while, you'll hear a little dead time.
That's
because Roy has got his mouth open watching the game because he's got Golden Tate and he's got all these other Matthew Stafford's on his team.
The world has completely thrown me a curveball today, and I am not keeping up with it.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Hey, Clark, let's talk about a game that I think you and I both think is a pivotal game for both teams, really. We've got the Colts at the Steelers. Now, the Colts, their defense is getting better and better. They have Andrew Luck. They have a little bit of a running game going. They have dangerous receivers. If they don't turn the ball over, they play extremely well. The Steelers, I was reading somewhere earlier that after a certain date, they're like 17-17. I can't remember what it was, but you'll know what it is. I might have even read it on your segment. Tell me what you think about this game and why.
I like the Colts in this game, and for the reasons you just mentioned, Andrew Luck and their defense is getting better. Listen, I look at Pittsburgh this year, and Pittsburgh to me is a team that's stumbling along to another 8-8 season. I don't see them being especially good on either side of the ball. I love Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's a terrific quarterback. But there's just something missing from this team. And defensively, they don't make the stops they used to. They don't get it after people the way they used to, and they don't create the turnovers they used to. And so when that happens, you've got to have something electrifying on the other side of the ball, and you really don't. And that game last week, they got 24 points or whatever it was in a short period of time. They got lucky in that game. Houston's not a very good team, but Pittsburgh, here they are. They get a lot of points in a short period of time, and they really do nothing else. I look at this game and think they're going to have to be turnovers by Indianapolis, takeaways by Pittsburgh for this team to have a chance. Otherwise, I like the Colts in this game simply because they're a better team, Bruce. I mean, they're a team that travels well. They're a team that plays teams up or down the line, especially tough, no matter how they don't play up or down in the competition. They are a team that is pretty solid and pretty consistent. And since those first two games of the year, they've been red hot and they're playing well. This is the team that I pegged before the year on your show as being the team to beat in the AFC. I still think they are. Listen, Denver's the best team out there right now. We're at midseason. So if we don't get any significant injuries to Indianapolis, a.k.a. Andrew Luck, I like their chances.
Yeah. Ahmad Bradshaw and Trent Richardson seem to quietly be building a running game for Andrew Luck as well.
Yeah, they are. And Richardson's banged up now, but Bradshaw has been a revelation to me because I thought he was done when he left the Giants. But he's playing well there. He missed part of last season with an injury, and I thought that's the beginning of the end. You're not going to hear from him again. And people were contacting me about, should we get this guy for fantasy football? I said, absolutely not. I mean, Richardson's the guy they've got to get going here at some point. Turns out Bradshaw's the more effective. But you're right. You've got a balanced attack now. And that's key for these guys because he's got a passel of wide receivers. Now, Reggie Wayne's not going to play today, but he's got enough wide receivers. That's why they brought in Hakeem Nicks, to try to take the edge off of a possible loss of someone like a Reggie Wayne. They got people in key spots all around. The only question I've got about this team, the same question as a year ago, defense. But the defense now is better than it was, and it seems like it's getting better with each week.
Yeah, Reggie Wayne hasn't really been there the entire year. It seems like he's been nursing something all along, either a hamstring or a little bit of a foot injury or something. And it's probably good that they're sitting him down. This is a good time to do it. Maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't. I actually dropped him from my fantasy team and picked up Doug Baldwin. And and there's a team. God, look how quickly Seattle broke the band up. I mean, can you believe what's going on in Seattle?
Yeah, I can. I mean, again, I think I probably told you at the beginning of the year, you look at the history of Super Bowl teams and Super Bowl winners, it's not especially kind. It's worse for Super Bowl losers. But Super Bowl winners, the last 8 Super Bowl winners before Seattle, not counting Seattle, but the previous 8 didn't win a playoff game the year after. They didn't win one, and some of them even didn't get to the playoffs. So you look at this and say, is that coincidence? Well, no, it's a trend. And so with Seattle, I looked at this team and said, I don't think that they're a dominating team. Like, honestly, the Packers look like in 2010. We said they're young, they're deep, and they're really good, and they're going to be around for a long time. In 2011, they went 15-1. We said that's who they are. They're going back to the Super Bowl. What happened? First playoff game, they lost to the Giants. So I look at this team and think they're not as good, but they should be in the playoffs, and they should be a team to be reckoned with. They started out that well, But now we have all sorts of issues going on with them. And to me, it comes down to very simply that defense isn't as good as it once was. I mean, you have Russell Wilson running for over 100 yards and throwing for over 300 in one game, and they still don't win against St. Louis. It's defense. They better get their swagger back. They are not the Legion of Boom they were a year ago. They're more like the Legion of Zoom.
Yeah, what do you think about Marshawn Lynch? I mean, something just came out this morning. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter. Did you see what they were saying about Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah, they basically are tired of his act, and they're not going to have him back last year. It's surprising me that they, you know, they put up with him this long. I mean, you look at him last year in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Honestly, if I were Pete Carroll, I would have cracked down on him then. But that's not Pete Carroll. And so here's Marshawn Lynch showing up for 3 or 4 minutes and walking away, and he thought he was very cool. And I thought the NFL at some point has got to do something here because he's setting a precedent for others to follow. You don't want to show up in front of the media. A lot of guys who don't want to. And I understand that, but they have to. They're required to. And this guy took advantage of it, and they let him get away with it. But Marshawn Lynch is a terrific back who gets a lot of yards, and he is that offense. I mean, it's not built around Russell Wilson. It's built around the running game. The run sets up the pass. That said, there's only so much you can put up with some of these guys, and I think we saw they hit the tipping point with Percy Harvin. Maybe it is with Marshawn Lynch, too. I mean, this guy is a terrific football player, period. Okay, period. He's got some issues that need to be dealt with at some point, and apparently they have decided, or some people at least think they've decided, that they don't want him around next year. I'm really curious to hear what Pete Carroll has to say about that.
Yeah, it sounds like poor Pete's kind of well, the good news is Pete ends up getting a Super Bowl ring out of it. The bad news is he's kind of lost the locker room to a certain extent, and he's really caught in the middle of all this. But let's keep going. The Packers are playing in New Orleans today. Now, you and I both know how good Aaron Rodgers is indoors. He's got like the best record indoors of anybody. I mean, Matt Ryan plays indoors, so he has a little bit of an advantage with his record, you know, in the Georgia Dome. But right. But I almost said Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers literally, no matter where he goes indoors, wins a game. You know, I mean, isn't this a much better Green Bay team than New Orleans right now?
Oh, much better. Yeah, New Orleans has got major problems. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, you can deal with the obvious issues. The defense stinks. I mean, they were top five defense a year ago. They're bottom five defense this year. They're not getting any kind of takeaways. But they didn't a year ago either. The offense, to me, is what's more of a problem with them because it's not on the field as long, which means the defense is, and you're seeing all the holes that are exposed. But Drew Brees doesn't look like the same quarterback, and there's a reason, I think, Bruce, and the reason that people really aren't talking about is Darren Sproles. I mean, they took away his best third down guy and a guy who can turn a 2-yard pass into a 22-yard pass. And I know how important he is to the quarterback because I used to cover the Chargers. I know Philip Rivers well. Talked to him for a long time about Sproles and the impact the loss of someone like him or Vincent Jackson had on that offense. It was enormous. And he said to me a year ago, you know, it's funny, I never really got it back until Danny Woodhead came around. Now, Danny Woodhead's not the same kind of player, but he gives him that comfort zone, that security blanket on third down that he's missing right now, and I'm talking about Drew Brees. I mean, he needed a guy like Sproles to offset the double teams of Jimmy Graham, and now Jimmy Graham, you know, he's missed a couple games here, and Sproles has gone to Philadelphia. He's lost some weapons that are key, and Sproles was so important for him because, as we know, Drew Brees is not the tallest of quarterbacks, 6 feet guy, and you can throw the ball sideways, and there he is. Right there. You have to look down the field. Brees isn't the same. The offense isn't the same. They've got major problems there, and people just say, oh, they pushed it aside. They got 6 home games. They'll win them all. Well, I don't know that because they played at home, and Tampa Bay took them to the mat. They took them to overtime.
Absolutely, and this is a team that's having trouble getting a win anywhere. I'm talking to Clark Judge with Hall of Fame Network. Clark, I'm going to take the Packers, Clark. I'm not crazy, right? And they're actually getting a couple of points, which is crazy.
Yeah, you know, I would
with.
Take them too, Bruce. But I saw some note today about their 1-9, I think, against the spread in their last 10 road games. That makes me wonder.
Oh, wow.
But I like the Packers because they're better and a much better team.
Well,
and the quarterback's on fire.
Yeah, and it's like playing in a gym anyway, playing in the Superdome. And if the Packers get a lead, it'll shut that crowd up a little bit. I got to think the crowd isn't all that loud like they normally are now. Hey, listen, the Redskins Cowboys Monday night. We got about a minute and a half left. You know, this is a big game for me. I live in D.C. Been a Redskin fan my entire life. Not as big a fan as I used to be, which because of a certain owner there. It's really hard to be a Redskin fan now. It's kind of like being an Oakland Raider fan, to be honest with you. But the thing about this game is the Cowboys look like they're rebuilding for a run. The Redskins look like they need 5 drafts I mean, am I wrong thinking when minus 14 Dallas? I mean, there's no way they don't destroy the Redskins on Monday night, is there?
That's the way I look at it, unless DeMarco Murray puts the ball on the ground or he fumbles and gets hurt, or unless Tony Romo has to take over the game because he can turn the ball over too. Right now they're playing it smart. They're living by the run. That way you basically slow a game down. You take the ball out of Romo's hands so he doesn't have to make the key plays. Let DeMarco Murray run behind the offensive line, which is really good. So the defense is on the field less. It's not a great defense, not a very good defense, as a matter of fact. It's pretty bad. But that said, it's on the field less, so they've got fresher legs. So they're better than they were last year, and it's hard not to be better. But that said, you're going with the third-string quarterback with Washington. Think you got a chance against these guys at home? I don't. Bruce, I'm with you. I like Dallas, and I like Dallas big in this game.
No, I hear you. Now, listen, I'm going to give you your pick, too. You've looked at these games all week. Which is your best pick?
It's funny, Bruce. The game I took I'll tell you this before this happens, but maybe that the Falcons win this game, maybe not. But I was going to take the Falcons. I did not. The reason was because they lost 11 of their previous 12 games on the road. That scared me. This is a road game, even though it's a home game. It's a road game in London. So I took the Packers for the very reasons we talked about. I looked at the pack and I said, they're a much better team against a team that's trying to find an identity. I like Green Bay because I like Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing right now.
Yeah, varsity against the JV. Clark Judge, Hall of Fame Network. Clark, thanks for coming
Clark.
Buddy.
Always a pleasure, guys. See you.
Really appreciate it. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back with our last segment on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back, and we're trying to calm down a little bit. There was just an interception by the Detroit Lions there. Got tackled inside the 10, so Stafford and company will take over. Down 21-10.
They should have a 9 a.m. Let me tell
We'd
you something.
Never get anything
Can I tell
done
you why it's
did.
So great?
No, you're right.
Can I tell you why it's so great to be on the West Coast of the United States of America during football season?
Because this is every day.
They do this every Sunday at 10 o'clock. They
them.
Have a game.
Yeah, but after 7 o'clock, they have to spend time with family. That's just wrong on a Sunday.
Oh, you are
you go to
sick,
sleep
sick
a little
puppy.
Later. You know, well, then your prime time television starts. Right?
Hey.
Oh, God, no.
Roy,
because it's changed by the coast.
Roy, homies, who's your homie?
Yes, my homie today is the Indianapolis Colts over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I will take the Colts.
Straight cash, homie.
For straight cash.
Straight cash, homie.
Yes, Randy.
Straight cash. And my homie is the Green Bay Packers. Please. Trying to jinx me?
Cash, homie.
So we both have the Packers.
Yeah, we do. You know what?
And
the
that's your cash.
The league is straightening out. We're going to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball right now. And I'm going to tell you how much I hate Fox Sports' guys doing a game. Joe Buck and Harold Reynolds are pathetic.
You're not a Joe Buck fan?
Let me just do this. Harold Reynolds, laughter, please. I wouldn't let him coach a little league team. He's an idiot. When the score was 4-1 and Vogie, and by the way, they didn't hit a ball out of the infield and they were up 4-1. They hit one ball off the end of the bat in the center field to make it 4-1. There was a double play ball that Brandon Belt fielded and couldn't get out of his glove or they'd have been off the field up 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up, worst case scenario, there's a chop ball 20 feet. Belt goes, or about, you know, to the first baseman. Belt goes over to make the play, flips it to a Vogelsong, who, by the way, was 6-0 in his lifetime in playoff games. And World Series games, he stumbles and doesn't touch the bag. Next was a base hit. Next was another base hit off the 4-1. The guys on the air are going, "What's wrong with Bochy? Why is he still got Vogelsong in there?" Hey guys, it's called
screw him.
Yeah, exactly. It's the National Freaking League. We don't pull pitchers right away when anything goes wrong, even if it's game 4 of the World Series, especially when that pitcher is really throwing pretty good. Now, he did walk a couple of batters, and Boch ended up coming and getting him after 2 2/3 innings. And I'm going to tell you, you know, he brings Machi in, and he, you know, he does okay. They get out of the inning with the bases loaded anyway. Mm-hmm. Then they bring in Yusmeiro Petit. Yusmeiro Petit is anything but petite. He is one big dude. He is the guy that threw 13 perfect innings in a row and broke the National League record, which was held by another San Francisco pitcher
that was
30 years ago or something.
What was that, game two of the Washington Nationals? Right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yusmeiro Petit comes in, shuts him down for about three innings, and then they take their normal bullpen at him. Let me tell you something about your Kansas City bullpen, Roy. And I know it's not your bullpen, but I'm talking to you because you're here, and I'm pissed. The Kansas City bullpen, yeah, you got three or four guys that come in and throw 100 miles an hour. That's great when you're ahead. The guys you bring in when you're behind suck. You brought in a kid, a left-hander, that pitched in the College World Series earlier this year. And if Brandon Crawford the other night doesn't swing at a ball in the dirt, he loses the other night instead of winning the game.
By the way, he's the only player, I believe, in MLB history to pitch in the College World Series and the MLB World Series.
Well, if he keeps pitching like he pitched last night, he needs to go back to college and finish and I'm sure his eligibility is up. Now, don't get me wrong, the kid's a good pitcher, but he's like 5'8". But anyway, that has nothing to do with Harold Reynolds.
Right.
You know, they were so just jumping on Bochy, and he's getting outmanaged, and Ned Yost is this, and Ned Yost is outdoing him. And you know what? All I did on Twitter, follow me, by the way, if you want to learn something about baseball or want to know what I'm handicapping and what I'm looking at Bruce Hall Sports. I follow the best people in the country. I retweet all the best people in the country stuff. You follow me, you'll get better at just whatever you're doing in sports.
At life.
You'll get better in life, too, because I'd retweet a lot of scriptures, too. So if you're not Christian, you might not want to follow me either. But here's the deal. They're a National League team. They didn't panic. Mm-hmm. Speaking of panic, I called that. I'm texting to Brett Bochy, who's in Kansas. He's finishing up the University of Kansas, where he went to college, and of course he signed a professional baseball contract, you know, after his redshirt sophomore year with San Francisco Giants. He was on the big league team. I asked Brett's still asleep, and the only reason Boch isn't on the show is he's still asleep right now, because I guarantee you he didn't get to bed till late last night. But these guys on Fox suck. They're horrible. And I'm going to write a letter to them, tell them how horrible they are. If you're gonna host the World Series on television, have some guys on there that have been there before. Joe Buck, are you kidding me? If it's not the St. Louis Cardinals, that's like listening to the guy from L.A., you know, do L.A. games. He's such a L.A. homer. And he's one of the best sportscasters, Vin Scully, one of the best sportscasters in the history of baseball. But I get tired of Scully, too, because he loves the Dodgers and hates the Giants. Well, guess what? 10 runs later, the Giants went a laugh for 11-4. They got Madison Bumgarner going tonight. If he throws like he normally does, the Giants need 3 or 4 runs. They're going to go back to Kansas City up 3-2. Hopefully, I'm knocking on wood. There's nobody at the door. I'm knocking on wood because I don't want to jinx them. And then I'm going back to Kansas City to eat barbecue and try to figure out which ensemble is the luckiest for me to wear to the ballpark. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm pissed. I'm telling you, Harold Reynolds can kiss my behind. If I ever meet the guy, I'm just going to ask him, where did you learn to play baseball? I mean, I know he was a great second baseman. Well, he wasn't great. He was good. I did see him get thrown out by Bo Jackson from the left field corner in a ball game somewhere.
Somewhere.
Can't remember
at
where
some
it was.
Point in my life.
It was like in a playoff game. He got thrown out, And Bo Jackson threw the ball literally from the left field wall all the way to home plate and threw Harold
Reynolds out. Well, Bo Jackson's a freak. He is a freak.
He used to climb up the fence, too, and run around the fence.
He was an All-American lacrosse player, too, in college.
No, that was Jim Brown. But nice try.
You're right.
Yeah, that was about – but you know what? I like the way your mind works.
Bo Jackson probably was, too.
Can I tell you what? Bo Jackson could have been a hell of a lacrosse player. And I'll tell you another thing. Bo Jackson would have been a hell of a wrestler. Bo Jackson would have been a hell of a soccer player. Bo Jackson was a monster. You know what he's great at? Archery. He's like one of the top amateur archers in the country. And Bo's 50 now. He's no youngster
basically
anymore.
Any sport, he doesn't have to move his hip.
Who is it, Herschel Walker, who fights UFC
now? He played
now?
With or an artificial MMA? Hip for 2 years in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He got a hip replacement, remember, when he had that awful injury against the in that Oakland Raider game? You know, what Bo Jackson did wrong is he played football. Because football can end your career quickly.
He even stopped early.
Well, he had to.
And that
he
was
had
the
a bad
whole,
hip.
That was the whole draft issue. That's why he fell so far in the draft. He didn't want to play.
No, he fell in
play
the baseball.
Full time, I should say.
He was one of the top guys drafted in football. He went in the seventh round in baseball because the only person that knew he wanted to play baseball was Hal Baird, his coach, who was a sweet mate of mine at East Carolina. And Hal played in the Kansas City organization. And by the way, at that time, that was John Shearholtz of Atlanta and all of those Atlanta guys. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they drafted Bo in a seventh round. He played for the Memphis Chicks his first year, double A. I'll never forget. He hit like a 600-foot bomb his first game. He was a monster. Anyway, Roy, let me ask, show me a finger. Okay, there's two fingers. That means you didn't have to show me that finger. Roy, it's been a great show.
It's been fun.
Who's your homie?
Indianapolis.
All right, let's go real quick, Roy. I'm going to fly through these. Sure. Ready? Mm-hmm. Lions, Falcons, quick.
Well,
let's take the Falcons.
What's the score? I'll take Lions.
All right. Bears, Patriots with the spread. Patriots minus 6.
Bears plus 7.
I'm taking the Patriots. Seahawks, Panthers. I'm taking the Panthers now.
I'll take Seattle.
Vikings, Bucks. I'm taking the Bucks.
Bucks.
Bills, Jets. I'm taking the Jets.
Jets.
Dolphins, Jags. I'm taking the Jags.
Dolphins.
No, okay, good.
What?
Ravens, Bengals. I'm taking the Ravens.
Bengals.
Texas, Titans. We don't care. Rams, Rams, Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Eagles, Cards. I'm taking Cards.
Arizona, yep.
Raiders, Browns. I'm taking the Browns.
I'll take the Browns.
Colts, Steelers. Taking the Colts.
Yes.
Packers, Saints. Taking the Packers.
Packers.
It's my homie. And Redskins, Cowboys. I'm taking... How about them Cowboys?
I'm taking the Redskins just because I will never pick the Cowboys in anything.
Hey, mess up my hair.
I hope they.
How about them Cowboys? I'm Jimmy Johnson.
I hope they lose in tiddlywinks today.
Hey, it's been a great show. Looks like we're coming down to the last seconds of the show. If you're out there, be very careful driving around today. It looks like it's
everybody started drinking at 9 a.m. today.
Yeah, football.
You know what? I hope they get a team in London. I hope they play there every week. They should just make them the home. They should be the home team every week because, you know, why wouldn't you?
They have New England. That's fine. That's good enough.
Yeah, but they cheat. They cheat like crazy. See you next week, people.